Just yesterday, I was talking to a very beloved parishioner, and she was talking about how her knees were beginning to give her trouble, how her hips were beginning to ache and pain, and obviously she's scared. She loves dancing. She loves skiing. She spends time with her grandchildren. And you know how it is? Just the fear that you might not be able to do the things that you love to do. And she talked to me about how she came for one of our healing masses. And she wanted the priest to anoint her, lay her hands over her head in prayer, and pray that all this would just disappear. And when the priest actually anointed and prayed, the priest prayed something like, "Dear God, please take away all her ailments. But if it is your will that they should still be there, give her the strength to deal with the ailments." And immediately, this parishioner said to me, I said to the priest, "Well, that's not what I want to hear. That's not what I came for. I'm not asking for the strength to endure the pain. I want to be healed." So this morning I called and I said, "Can I use the story for the homily?" And she said, "Well, I was being silly, but I really meant that from my heart." I don't think this person is alone in how she feels, is she? I, for one, there are many times in my life when I felt the same way at one time or another. Sometimes, to accept what life has to offer us can be very difficult, isn't it? And then we compare how we feel with how Mary responded in today's gospel reading, and then you realize, goodness, got so much farther to go in my spiritual growth. In today's readings, we hear about two epic characters in the scriptures. Mary and David. What separates the two of them is 1,000 years. Both of them were beloved to God. They were both chosen unexpectedly. David was chosen when he was tending sheep. And Mary, we don't know where she was, perhaps in her home. And they were both chosen for tasks that they felt was impossible for them. David, the shepherd boy, supposed to be king of Israel. And Mary, this little virgin, supposed to give birth to the Son of God. David would end up becoming the most honored king in all of Israel. And Mary would give birth to the King of the world. God's promise to David that his kingdom would last forever is actually fulfilled in Mary. Jesus, her son, would inaugurate the kingdom of God. 1,000 years apart. Think about that. 1,000 years apart, David and Mary are connected by the same prophecy. So today I want to look at these readings and say, what is it that we, who are just a week before Christmas, what is it that we can learn from David and Mary? So here's the first thing that I've learned this week. The one thing that impressed me about today's readings is how two people, 1,000 years apart, become intricately connected. But before I go there, I want to just talk about the first reading. Did you get the gist of that reading? David wants to build a house for God. See, because he's king now, he's living in a palace. And the Ark of the Covenant was in a tent, and David begins to feel guilty. How can I be in the palace and the Ark of the Covenant is in a tent? And he says, I will build a home for God. I will build a tent, as if David could build anything that could hold the power and the majesty and the glory of God. And so God says to David, let me put things in perspective. God tells David that instead God would build a house for David. It would be actually not even David who would build the temple. It would be his son Solomon who would build the temple much later. But here's the kicker. Little did David and Solomon know that 1,000 years later, God would use the same promise to speak to a humble virgin by the name of Mary. And this time to build a totally different kind of temple, to build a totally different kind of people. And I ask myself, what does this teach me? What am I supposed to learn? Friends, just like David or Solomon or Mary, each one of us can only have a limited perspective on life. We can only figure out what's going on right now. And because of that, we will always have questions. So I may ask myself, why did God call me to be a priest? Or you may ask yourself, what did I do to deserve the best spouse that I could have ever got? Or why did my marriage fail? Some of you may ask, why am I poor? Why couldn't I have more resources in my hands? Why did my child become pregnant? Why did my child become an addict? Why did I lose a child? Or you may say, what did I do to deserve such wonderful children? Why did I fall into this sin? These are questions that we have in our minds. And because of our limited perspective, it's difficult to give sometimes meaningful answers. The story of David and Mary teach us that there is a greater purpose at work in all of human history. If God could connect Mary and David 1,000 years apart, then whatever is going on in my life is somehow part of the history that God is working out. Not only human history, but in your life and mine. Why did God call me to be a priest? I don't know. All I know is the God who calls me is fulfilling God's purpose in all of history and in my own personal life. That's the first point I'm trying to make. The second thing I want to say is to believe that God's perspective is in play in our world and in our personal lives, the ability to believe that But like Mary and David, who are connected 1,000 years apart, that is at play. The ability to believe that is what we call faith. Faith not only in God, but in God's involvement in human history and in our individual lives. So ultimately, even though David's intentions to build a temple did not materialize, he had to trust God that someone in the future generation would build the temple. His intentions were good. God did not want him to do that. Perhaps he did not understand why, but he should have had the faith, and he did, to believe that God's promise of his kingdom being an everlasting kingdom would happen. This is true also of Mary. She asked the question, how can this be since I have no relations with a man? But David and Mary both exercise what I call trust, faith. They believed that a greater power is at work in them. Yes, they had questions. Yes, they did not understand, but they mustered within themselves the ability to believe that what was outside their control is actually possible for God. For with God, all things are possible. Mary actually believed that that statement, for God, all things are possible, is true. And the question to each one of us is, can we get where Mary was in our own faith and trust? Thirdly, we're just a week away from Christmas. Who in the world would imagine that a child born in a stable and laid in a manger would change the course of human history? Who could have believed that? I suggest that this week we focus on our ability to believe. Are there areas in our life that we are finding difficult to accept? Or are there situations in our lives where we are finding it difficult to discover God? As we look at the past, particularly what God has accomplished in God's people, in Mary, could our prayer be, instead of saying, that's not what I want to hear, instead of saying that, could we, like Mary, say, may it be done to me according to your word? Can we muster the faith to say that in the same way Mary said that? I'm suggesting that we take that kind of trust to the manger when we are here next weekend to celebrate Christmas. And come to the manger and offer that kind of faith to Jesus. Jesus, who is the fulfillment of the promise made to David and to Mary. In conclusion, let me merely say this. Folks, who would have imagined that humble bread and simple wine would become a way for God to become real in our lives? Who could have ever imagined that? Only God. As that wine and bread is brought forward, could we place our lives on this altar just like Mary did? Could we allow for God's perspective, God's plan, God's work, even though we don't understand? Could we lay our lives on this altar so that God's plan could actually become true and real and accomplished through us? Could we do that? My prayer for you and for me is, yes, Lord. may it be done to me according to your word. The people of God said,